Live from Agile 2015, outside near the Potomac River in front of a waterfall-ish thing. It's the Agile Revolution with Craig.
And Renee.
And JC Hewitt. How are you doing, JC?
Very good, thank you.
So, detecting the accent, where's that from?
It's actually my Australian accent.
You did live in Australia for a little while.
A full year.
Say, how do you say g'day, mate?
G'day, mate.
That's actually pretty good, isn't it? Mm,
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll give you an honorary Australian citizenship for that one.
Well, I learned my English in Australia, so...
There you go. Well, you are part of the Commonwealth. You are from Canada.
Exactly.
Which is the
52nd state of the US.
That's it, or it's like New Zealand is to Australia.
Exactly.
Canada is to the US. Anyway, we've known each other for a number of years now. I think we met in 2008 when I was trying out this little tool called Greenhopper, which most people may know if they've used Jira. It's now part of the Jira product, or at least an add-on called Jira Agile, but... That was a little project, I guess, that you threw together in your basement for a bit of a Atlassian competition or something, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Greenhopper was mainly built for the CodeGeese contest of Atlassians. And from my couch down in my basement. And just before submitting it, I saw a bit more value than the cash prize they're actually offering. So I decided to give it a try on the market. Mm-hmm. And it grew from my first client, which I think was you.
There you
I'm
go.
Not sure, but I think it was Suncorp.
Wow.
And it went up to, I think now they have a client base of 500,000 users.
Yeah.
I think it's the most popular software for Agile.
So what was the impetus? Why when you were thinking about something to build, did you decide to build a card wall for a bug tracking system?
It was actually not my idea. So I was presenting another plugin for the CodeGeese, and I had a colleague that wanted to do a task board mm-hmm. on Jira. And, you know, in the Agile community, you helped each other and so on. So I decided to help him, and I was actually helping him, but he was not actually coding on the plugin itself. So at the end, he decided to say, well, dude, I didn't do anything on it, so just keep it, present it if you want, under your name, but, like, I didn't do anything, it's yours.
Gee, that was a bad idea.
Oh. He's actually a very good friend to have me today. And
you slipped him a 50 and said, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. So when Atlassian acquired the plugin in 2009, I think it was, I came back. I went there in Australia for a year, mm-hmm. and the first person that I contacted as soon as I went back to Canada, as you say, it was him. And I was actually convincing to start another plugin with him, and he did the same mistake. So he actually refused, and the second one got bought by an Icelandic company, mm-hmm. Tempo Software.
There you go. So I guess from those humble beginnings. What do you think was the attraction to people? Because as I say, I mean, Jira is a bug tracking system, and you've spent a fair bit of your career creating plugins for Jira. Why do you think people are attracted to it, and particularly for things like that? Plus, we'll talk about some of the new ones.
Yeah, later. I didn't invent the wheel. It was actually something that I think that was at the time that I came out with Greenhopper. There were like about 75 software that was doing exactly the same thing, and there was like big contestants like version 1 and Rally. But my idea was to bring bugs into software management, yeah. and to put it on Jira was the most convenient, and they had a very good ecosystem. The API is fully open, so it was a quick win for me. Yeah.
Well, a lot of the heavy lifting's already done for you, right? Because you've got that, as much as you've got to deal with the issues in the design of Jira, which are many because it's very legacy, you've got a lot of that base, the foundation built for you.
Exactly. So it was really a quick win. It was no user management. I didn't have to do that to reinvent the platform itself. I just had to do like the workflow with the issues, and it was just to show it as a task board and a planning board, and the guichet unique, like the unique guichet. I don't know how you say it in English, but it was just. It made sense and attracted huge of people. So no.
The voice of Spock. It was logical.
It was totally, yeah. They had two systems, one to manage the bugs, one to manage the task, and they had to switch from one to the other, and it was too complicated. Jira made it easy with of course, Green Harper.
And I think part of it also was, I remember looking at it in the early days, it was unobtrusive, so I could sell it to someone who was already using his bug tracking system and say, you can keep using your bug tracking system exactly the same way, you won't even know this is here, it's just a menu, but it'll take all your stuff and display it in a new improved format.
And if you look at Jira today, I mean, it's what you see is Green Harper.
Mm.
It's only Green Harper. It became the face of Jira itself. I remember when I did my negotiation with Atlassian, they were like saying that Green Harper will only attract 20% of Jira's clientele. And I think today it's actually 80 to 85% of the clientele of Jira is actually using Jira Agile,
yeah,
which is formerly Green Harper.
Mm. So what about the name Green Hopper?
I always used to call it Grasshopper remember it.
I was just about to say, Renee always used to say, hey, can you tell me how to use this Grasshopper thing? and she was one of about 100 people who used to say that to me, and I'd go, it's Greenhopper. And they'd go, I don't know, that green grasshopper thing.
So the company that I was working for at that time when I started Greenhopper, they had a product called Green Pepper, which was more like a spec testing tool. And we wanted to build, at that time with the company, we wanted to build like some kind of branding, and green was the branding. So we started with Green Pepper, which was the testing tool, and we decided to do Green Hopper because Green Hopper was basically mimicking cards, mm-hmm, and the cards were like jumping from a column to another column. Mm-hmm. So it was like
I would
hopper.
Have gone with green chili, just to be clear.
Well, it was green chili is because, yeah, the green pepper was like more like the green bell, the vegetable.
Yeah.
So, and the hopper was basically the grasshopper.
What is it with testing tools and vegetables, really? I mean, cucumber, capsicums, oh man.
It's a big trend.
So, I must admit, in those early days, having a few clients, but did the success really take you, because even before Atlassian acquired you, it was a reasonably popular plugin as it evolved. Did that surprise you?
It took me completely by surprise. It was supposed to be a side job. It was supposed to just round my end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it took less than 3 months.
Wow.
It was actually, if you go back to Atlassian, as soon as I acquired it, it's for them it was never seen, the mm-hmm. curve. The graph, the growth graph was just insane. It was like a straight line going up. It was actually doubling every single month, so it was 100% every single month. And I think today it's one of their flagship.
Yeah.
It's not as big as Jira, of course, because Jira is still the platform.
Yeah.
But I remember that I was a one-man army at that time at Atlassian, and I was almost making more money than the plugin itself was making. Almost the same amount of money as Confiance, which was the second flagship.
Yeah.
With a team of 75 people and a huge team of management. So no, it was knock on wood, it was really like a success story.
I think it's a good lesson to us in the Agile community about how you can do small things and make really significant changes. I mean, because it was never an overbaked product, and we could sit here and argue about the things that it didn't do, and in fact still doesn't do. And I know in the early days, and we've spoken about this lots of times, we had to find innovative ways around getting around the inadequacies, a lot of which were actually Jira related. But when you actually figured the tricks and tips to actually make it work, it was a really powerful system. In fact, some of those are even lost now in the product.
I think the success run up was the way we actually approached the market. We decided, it was at me at that time, because I was one-man army, which between, I think, is the ideal size of a team, because the communication is pretty awesome.
Yeah, as I say, you're a team of awesome, right?
Yeah, you have the PO, the Scrum Master, and the Dev, and it was all knocking on my own shoulder. So it was, the way I approached it is like to every sprint, like I was making a sprint of, I think it was 3 to 4 weeks, but it was actually releasing at the end of the 3 or 4 weeks. So my clients had new features, improvements based on their feedback. So it made, and to be honest, I think 80% of Green Hopper itself came from ideas from the clients.
Mm.
And the success, the thing that I brought to the software was just to make sure that the vision was kept, was I followed the vision of the product, so all the feedbacks was directly, like, it was aiming at the vision.
Yeah, and I can certainly ascertain that being a, you know, being an early customer was.
And I think you had like multiple requests. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I did multiple requests.
I think I'm still waiting for some of them too.
Yeah, the whip limit one still bothers me.
Which one?
The whip limits across multiple columns.
Ah, the Kanban board.
Yeah,
the Kanban board.
Still bothers me.
Yeah. Well, in fact, you were very early onto the Kanban stuff as an add-in, way before I think even the popular Kanban boards out here now.
I love the principle of Kanban. Mm. I thought it was, like for agile software, I thought maybe it was ahead of time, but I thought it was like the most compelling methodology. So I've tried to push Greenhopper in that direction to support as fast as possible the Kanban, because I thought it was going to be the second trend.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much like the trend today too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess to answer Renee's question about the multiple whip limits, so you can have it doing and done, is really a limitation of Jira to a certain extent, because of the although it does have this, it does have this idea that you can put your own sort of board or swim lanes in there, but even that's a bit clunky. It doesn't work as well as it should.
Yeah, but I'm not the pew anymore. So. Yeah.
but yeah, that was a limitation.
I'm sure I'll fix this.
That was a polite move on, I think.
Yeah, that was a limitation, obviously, of Jira, not the product. My question is going back to those early days. I mean, when someone said they're going to build a task board, were you agile aware then, or is that something that you've had to become aware of, that you were actually then building a product that was, because most of us come to us and we find this agility thing and we're all on for it. You sort of come from a different direction because of the software.
Yeah, I had the chance to be associated very early with a company, a consulting company that was actually promoting agile within Montreal, and I think they were the first company to promote agile inside the first consulting company, of course, to promote agile in Montreal, mm-hmm. Canada. And I was very early on an agile team, so I learned the process. I think I was a consultant in an insurance company at that time, and it worked very well. The only thing that we didn't have is a good tool. And like I said, when my colleague came up with the task board, I said, oh my God, yeah, true, Jira is like the ultimate platform to actually support the agile flow. So I had the knowledge, and of course, I had the basic knowledge, and my education came from my clients, like being confronted with their own problems and so on. I was able to actually overpass those, and of course the product was directed by that.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it's so I had a bit of knowledge, but it mostly came while doing the plugin itself.
So when the company that you work for, that produced Greenhopper, got acquired, you came to work in Australia, in Sydney, Atlassian for a year. I guess my question, and you can tell me to move on if you like, but as a company that sells the biggest selling agile product, how do they practice what they preach internally there? Is because they are an agile company at heart, but I wouldn't say they actually do agile there, though.
It was pretty strange. I think that the move that Atlassian did by buying Greenhopper was marketing move. It was really to put the agile stamp on Jira. And I think it was pretty damn good move. But as soon as I went into the company, I saw that maybe 10% of the company was actually working in the like doing Scrum or being agile. And one of the main tasks was to transform the company at the same time, to do more agile, to use more agility. And it was quite a hard task because, first of all, they were growing so fast. And second of all, I was still a one-man army inside of Atlassian, so my time was really, really limited. But I think they got better. I think today they really got better. And before, they were like saying they were agile, which I think was not really the case. But today I can say that, yes, they pretty much are.
Yeah, and I think it's all that, that's the thing about coaching, right? You're planting that seed, and obviously by actually having that product internally and being probably so popular, it may have forced the hand.
Yeah. And some of the managers jumped. Like, I know that the general manager, you can say his name is Paul Slade, was one of the first person or manager to jump on at Green Hopper, and he used it extensively. And it was one, of course, one of my request source. Very valuable. It was very valuable because he was actually working with a huge team also.
Yeah.
So yeah, it brought some challenges into Green Hopper.
Scaling before it was cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now you, while you're there, you worked with. We both have a mutual friend in Nick Muldoon, and yeah. You know, we were mentioning before that about the podcast we did with him a year or so ago. So here's your chance to lay any dirt you want to on Nick. He's probably listening.
This is, I think, it's the guy that I love the most in the world.
Like, that's not dirt. We like him. We don't need to tell him that.
Oh, he knows it. Don't worry, he knows it. He's like, we're keeping in touch, not as often as I would love to. Now I think he's based in San Francisco, and I tried hard to bring him to my hometown, and I think he's afraid of the cold.
But he was the product manager of Green Hopper, right?
So yeah, he took my place.
So I think part of that then is he continued to evolve the product, which was really awesome. So you went on to do another plug-in after that once you sort of left on from Atlassian.
Yeah, so after my experience with Atlassian, I came back home, took a full sabbatical year. I was actually a handyman. So I was fixing toilets, So it need some time to go back to the ground, like we say in French, le plancher des vaches, the cow's ground. Mm-hmm. And
could you say that again for the female listeners?
Plancher des vaches.
Thank you.
And it's like it resourced me in some way. It actually destroyed my body because it's really hard work. And I've decided, actually, my current partner just like convinced me to retry the experience of doing an add-on and making it successful, which we did. Mm-hmm. And it took us, I think, less time than Green Hopper that a company got interested. Like, again, it's Tempo Software, and acquired us on the spot.
So what did that plugin do?
So it's actually coming from the Agile side. So I'm trying to be a visionary. So, like Kanban, I try to be ahead of the competition. And looking at today's trend with Agile, what I think is that, you know, other companies are switching to Agile, and it's more people methodology. It's like more a people-oriented technology. So they try to push all the procedures, all the process on the side. They put documentation is less exhaustive, and cost control is something that's, you know, put goosebumps on the hair of, like, on the arms of people. Mm-hmm. So they push that away again. And the issue that I saw with that is that companies were going agile, mm-hmm. and it's extremely expensive to go agile because they ask for multidisciplinary developers, which is not the cheapest. Mm. And they work doing, I think, better software. They know better when they're going to deliver and exactly what they're going to deliver. But the issue is they don't know at which cost.
Yeah.
And often what I saw is very good companies or very good departments working on very good software, and suddenly they have to put the plug because there's not enough money in the banks. And for me, how do you say that? You said the word just before. It was...
Logical.
It's evident. Like, to rebring the cost management.
Obvious.
The cost control. And to do it in a way that you don't put the goosebumps. Mm-hmm. So you leave it to the PMO or the product managers. And yeah, it's just to rebring the cost management inside, mm-hmm. and support any methodology. It could be Agile, Kanban, whatsoever.
So by cost management, you mean time sheeting and recording of actuals?
So timesheeting is one of the aspects. You don't have to, but you can roughly estimate. So Tempo Folio is not something that can be accurate as you want. You don't have to be as accurate as the sand that's actually coming out of your bank. Mm. It's just to have a sense of how much you're spending. So if you do timesheeting, it will be more precise, more accurate, of course, but you can leave the system calculate the hours that a person works. Normally, you work full-time, so it's 40 hours a week or 35 hours a week. So we just account that based on, of course, the allocation that you have on your project.
So it works better where we have fixed teams that don't move around. That person stays in those teams and the work moves to the teams.
So that's, yes, we support that very easily, but you can have teams member that actually leave the team and go to another team. We can track that pretty easily. We call them the allocation, so you can allocate a person for 50% in one team and another team for 50%, or you can switch them around teams and so on. You can actually manage the resource allocation, and Tempo4U will actually calculate the cost of every single project.
So who's the primary audience for this?
So yeah, this was an exercise that we did because Green Hopper was another story. Green Hopper was, we're targeting the devs because they're mostly using, of course, the Green Hopper with the task board and the planning board and so on. So it was more bottom up sell. So we sell it to the devs and they just bring it up and actually the company buys it. Tempo4U has a different clientele. It's more, you're more talking to product managers, accountants, PMOs. So it's more top down. And so, yeah, the sales strategy is very, very, very different. So we need to target, like, yeah, more the product managers.
It must be appealing, though, to I guess, particularly financial people that sometimes look at agile approaches as very cowboyish or not well planned, but the fact that really most agile teams, you know, the project manager is really the only one that's got a close eye on the dollars and cents.
Yeah. It's totally hidden from the devs, so I'm pretty sure it won't bring any goosebumps to any team members. It's just bring another aspect to make sure that you're not overspending. It's really that. It's really like your cost control, and it's not. I don't think it's a control on the resources themselves. It's just a control on the project, the health of the project. Is it going to live or not?
Is there any thought around the no estimates movement and how it might or might not align with that?
Stole my question. All right.
Really?
It doesn't matter. The estimations is really something that we're going to use for forecasting. So if you do estimates, we can forecast. If you don't do estimates, we will not forecast. We will just tell you the current situation and your past situation so you can know if you got better or got worse. The estimation is really something that you can use. And Tempo4U is very flexible, so we can actually do it based on hours or based on story points, so it doesn't matter. Normally, when you use cost control inside an agile project, Scrum for instance, we're not doing the cost control on the project itself. We're doing the cost control on something that we know, the scope that we know, which is the longest time frame that where we know the scope of, which will be more like a release. So we do the cost control on the release side, and you could use like a portfolio management, a portfolio view to see all your releases under the same umbrella, for instance. So you can see actually the health of the project itself. But normally it's like agile EVM, pretty much was a trend at a certain point when it was switching from PMI to agile. They introduced the agile EVM, which I think it's agile earned value management, EVM stands for, yeah. So EVM was again bringing goosebumps to people, but I think it's still good indicators. Mm. It tells you if you're over or under budget. I think it's, we shouldn't push things that were good in one methodology because it's not part of the, like, you know, it's,
yeah.
We should actually grab everything that's in every methodology that can actually help us in software development.
So is there something you think, you sort of mentioned that you're sort of looking for things on the bleeding edge. Do you think this is something that as a community we still need to talk more about, is this whole cost control idea? Is it being spoken about enough in circles, do you think?
I think it's going to come. It's going to... I don't think that... Yes. I think very quickly it's going to come. I think the agile companies, like the people turning to agile, will first... They have so much to do to transform. Mm. That's not a concern today. But as soon as there will be full speed agile, it will have to come.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's something vital for them. So I think Tempo4u is a bit ahead of its time, but it's not that much ahead. I think it's going to come very, very quickly.
Okay.
And how long until you start to build a plugin that automatically does weighted shortest job first?
You mean like starting a plugin on Atlassian?
Yeah.
It will take you about 3 months.
Me? I don't code anymore.
Well, I was not coding anymore. I was a handyman. I was with a hammer and a screwdriver.
Good point.
So it took me, and Atlassian moved so fast, so I had to relearn the platform. I had to relearn the API. Now today, everything is almost done. Website, it's mostly done in JavaScript, which I was really sucking at. So today is, yeah. No, it's... No, it takes some dedication, some time away from the family.
There you go. So listeners, I'm not going to do it. So if anyone wants to do a weighted shortest job first based plugin, go for it.
I was just going to say, JC's just handed you down a challenge. Go, you're 3 months to learn how to code.
Smackdown, wasn't it?
To be honest, I'm looking at Atlassian today. They're an extremely huge company. They have like over, I think, 35,000-40,000 clients. Mm. And the marketplace is still like a version ground.
Yeah.
It's like, it's open. It's open and no one grabs it. Mm. So it's like Folio is totally alone doing cost management.
And without getting the specifics, the companies that are making plugins in there are doing pretty well. Atlassian supports a pretty healthy ecosystem for...
They have, they're pretty lucky. I think that's Atlassian, they're lucky. I mean, it was part of their strategy and I think they executed very, very well. Yeah.
Not only Atlassian, but also the fact that you can make a company around it, that other vendors can make a company around it.
But so this is what they sell, it's their speech. So the idea comes from them, and they educated us well enough to actually jump on the opportunity. Mm. I think it's like all the credits to them.
Yeah.
And it proved like many plugins got bought. Green Hopper is one. You had Roadmap also, that's today Jira Portfolio. Mm-hmm. You have the Sybliss Workflow Designer that was bought. I mean, it made many developers happy.
Yeah, but even so, even if you don't get bought by Atlassian, you can still be...
Tempo, Zephyr, Tempo Software, Zephyr is all the proof.
Yeah, the timesheeting type things. Yeah.
Yeah, they have like 75 employees now in Tempo Software. I think Zephyr is as big, which is like, it's a huge market.
So one last thing for you. I mean, what sort of things are you seeing in the Agile community that are taking your interest, or, you know, things that maybe are getting you rolled up or whatever, because you've sort of been around this stuff for a while?
What I'm amazed of is that the community is growing and growing. Before, when you were talking about agility or being agile, it was like you were like not a monster, but you were like
a robot, an alien. Yeah.
And today, it's actually common ground. Mm. And what I like about the community is that it's the collaboration. I think it's like it's priceless. Mm. Like everybody collaborates. There's like you can ask. I'm pretty sure you can send an email to Esther or Esther Derby or. Mm. And she's going to answer you right away. And something that's before that, I don't think was possible. Like the PMPs for me was more like with a tie, like a shirt and a tie and a very close environment. And today it's like the EPs of the software. Mm. I know you say EPs, you know, the Woodstock people.
Yep.
So yeah, it's EPs. You say EPs?
Hippies.
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 That's it.
Right. Hearing EPs.
Yeah, it was mixed sex and love. Like here it's like mixed software and love or something like that.
Peace sign.
Peace and love. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, thank you.
Way out, dude. Do you think that, we were mentioning just on the walk over here that there's a lot of talk that at this conference about things like scaling and those type of things. You know, what are your thoughts around that stuff? Is, you know, is that healthy for us? Or?
Scaling. I think it's a huge issue. I think it's, today I didn't see any framework that works pretty well yet. I know there's plenty of trends and hopefully, and what I like in the frameworks that are being presented, even if I'm not buying them, I don't think that they're too constraintful still, but they're evolving. Mm-hmm. And this is a good sign. I mean, it's not something that's built and you use it. It's actually something with versions. I like to see versions on frameworks. That means that feedbacks are coming and it's getting better. Mm. So I think that, yeah, soon we'll be on the
flip side though, the thing that I think probably concerned me the most that I probably hadn't really thought about is that they're all selling the certification. And that didn't happen with some of the practices. I mean, mind you, you can't get a Kanban certification as well, but
XP,
there was no certification.
That's what I mean.
No.
So yeah, a lot of those early ones, it wasn't predated on that. Whereas in order to get your head around a massive something like, you know, DAD or SAFE or Nexus or LESS, all these, everyone's selling something now, which I don't know.
Selling it. Yeah, snake oil,
that's
right?
It.
I don't think certification makes a person. I mean, like, you're good or you're not good. I think you. Yes, certification is an entry door to some clients or employers. Yeah. But I think it's how the person is, how the person works, and how the person.
I'd hope it's like that, but it just worries me a little that we're putting such a.
Yeah, but I'm not a big fan of certifications. Eh? I'm really into more people. I'm more. Certification is just. It's not even. If I hire today, I will not even look at. Maybe
we don't
just.
We have a crowdsourced framework, do we?
A crowdsourced one? Not to my knowledge.
No.
Maybe it's something to wonder.
I know Atlassian has crowd software, but it doesn't do that at all.
No. Yeah, let's not get in that path. So, JC, it's been awesome to see you here at the conference again. It's always a pleasure to run into you. And
same here.
And seeing you go such a long way from those. The first time I met you, which was at the booth at Agile 2008, where
good memories.
We were instant friends because I'd pretty much bought one of the early versions of the software, and to your time in Australia here now. So awesome to see where you've gone, and good to have people like you in the Agile community. So if people want to know more about you and about Folio and those type of things, where can they find out more?
Directly on Templefolio's website.
Which is?
I have a big picture. I think it's templeplugin.com. Mm-hmm. And you'll find my picture and my email in the employees section, I think.
Excellent.
Or collaborators, we say.
Excellent. And if you see him at a conference, go up and say hello and say, Craig said to come say hi.
Twitter?
I do not have a personal Twitter. I know, Nick, don't hear that. I'm not a big fan of Twitter. I'm a big fan of emails. I'm a huge fan of emails.
And of course, the Agile Revolution.
Of course.
Well said, well said. Well, safe travels back to the Commonwealth of Canada.
Same to you.
And we'll catch you soon.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.